So, in thinking about what God might want you to hear today and me to say, I kind of looked through the archives. In other words, I dug through the barrel and decided that it'd be a great day to refresh a sermon from a long time ago on hope. Because it seems like today is a day of hope in many ways for all of us, but especially for you as a congregation. So we're going to look at a passage that talks about hope, and I hope it will be encouraging to you today. And it's interesting that for whatever reason, the title of the sermon in your bulletin, it says A Living Help. And you know, the best way to have hope is to ask for help. So I think we already got a message there without even needing it. So we're going to look at a living hope, and that's a phrase taken out of 1 Peter, and you're going to see that. If you've got a Bible, turn to 1 Peter 1. We're going to look at just verses 3, 4, and 5. And we're going to talk about born again to a living hope. What does hope look like? How can your soul be still when all that chaos of life is happening? How do you still your soul? How's your soul quieted? And it's quieted by a greater hope, knowing that there's hope beyond what you see in front of you, no matter how disrupting it might be. So it ties right in with the hymn we just sang. But let's hear the word of God from 1 Peter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being kept or guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, that it is profitable for our growth. We thank you that in this particular passage today, your Holy Spirit has a message for each one of us that might be different, but the same. A message of hope. We pray that you will give us eyes to see, ears to hear, take away the distractions that would keep us from seeing what's in your word this morning. We thank you and ask you now for your help as I attempt to speak. We pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our heart, would be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. Well, hope is a nice word, isn't it? And as I was thinking about this, I thought, why do we name all the female babies after virtues like hope and charity and grace? But us guys get names like Samuel, David, Peter. There's something beautiful about the word hope, isn't there? And there's a lot of interesting side ideas about hope. And being somewhat of a man of the sea, I couldn't help but wonder how Cape Good Hope got its name. You know where that is? It's at the very bottom tip of Africa. And it's the one cape, the one point that you have to go around to get from India all the way around. And when they discovered that seaway, the king was so excited. Before that, it was called the Cape of Storms, because it's one of the worst places for boats to try to get around. But then he renamed it Cape Good Hope, like thinking, okay, now we've opened up a way and we're being optimistic about a route to India and the East, because there was no Suez Canal at that point. So Cape Good Hope. And yet the world has kind of given hope its own definition that's different from the Bible, isn't it? It's kind of been hijacked. It's more about optimism. I hope the Dodgers make it to the World Series. Or the Cubs, like my Cubs friend. He said, well, they made it once. I'm not going to hope anymore. I hope the weather doesn't get too bad. I hope my wife changes. I hope my husband changes. I hope my children. We use hope in a very kind of general sense, don't we? Just kind of meaning optimism. Like maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. We use it about people. We use it about churches. I hope our church will find a good pastor. I hope our church will grow. I hope our church will make it in this time of the culture. But this passage gives us a different definition of hope. So I want to ask four questions from this passage. So if you're taking notes, I'll try to go through these quickly. But we want to ask four questions. Number one, the question is, what is it? What is it? What is this hope? It's described as a living hope, so let's talk about that. Number two, how do we get it? Where does it come from? Number three, what does it do? And we're going to see in this passage what it does. And then number four, what keeps it going? What sustains it? All four of those ideas I think we'll be able to find in God's Word today. So number one, what is it? What is it? Why is it called a living hope? Why doesn't the Bible just say, blessed be the God and Father of our Jesus Christ that has caused us to be born again to hope? Well, he calls it living hope. So that makes me want to wonder, what's dead hope? What's hopeless? Or what's dead hope that dies? I experienced that this week when I went to the dentist and he took an x-ray and he said, I'm sorry, Mr. Hawk, but tooth number five is hopeless. I said, hopeless? Really? Does that mean? Yeah, that means it's got to come out. No, you can't fix it? No, it's hopeless. So I heard the word hopeless this week, and that's what it took to prepare a sermon on hope. I guess it's worth losing a tooth over. But the tooth did need to come out. Because there was no way. It had already, I said, well, it's lasted 77 years. It's got a crown. It's got a root canal. I guess it's done its work. And he said, yeah, you got your money's worth out of that tooth. But it's hopeless now. So when we talk about being hopeless, it's pretty discouraging. It's going to cost a lot of money. Or this doesn't leave me many options. Or this will never change. Or I've got to live this way. Hopeless is a terrible state, and it usually leads to what? Loneliness. I'm alone. I'm depressed. What I was dependent on to help me is not going to help me. I was hoping that my retirement fund would get me this far, but it's not going to make it. I was hoping that this wouldn't happen, but it did happen, and I was depending on this. Dead hope, if we want to talk about it, is something that's depending on someone else or something else that can't produce, that cannot give you life, and that will not last. Let me give you a few examples. The place where hope is mentioned the most, what book of the Bible do you think that is? Easy one. Psalms. Psalms is full of the word hope. And here's some of them. In Psalm 146, David knew about dead hope. And he says, put not your hope in princes. And we could, in our culture, say presidents or Congress or state legislator or government. Don't put your hope in princes, David says, or in a son of man where there is no salvation. We can't put our hope in people to have living hope. We can't depend on people to give us life more than we depend on Jesus. Psalm 27 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we put our hope in the Lord our God. What are the chariots and horses that you tend to put your hope in? Lots of options there, right? Could be a relationship, could be finances, could be a job, could be a church. Could be a pastor, could be a friend. Jeremiah 17 puts it this way, even more harsh. He says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes the flesh his strength. And of course, Jeremiah is telling Israel, you better not depend on Egypt to save you, because it's not going to work. You need to hope and trust in God himself. Proverbs 28 says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. You say, well, okay, I'm just going to trust my good judgment here. I'm going to go what seems right to me. Proverbs says you're a fool if that's where you're putting your hope. Matter of fact, some of you like that verse. What does it say in 3:5? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So see, there's a lot of places where we can go to find some measure of hope. But whoever trusts in riches will fail, but the righteous will flourish. Sooner or later, that kind of hope is going to become just like my tooth number 5, hopeless. It may take a while. Some people get an inheritance and it's gone in a year. Sometimes it lasts longer, but then it's gone. But it's gone sooner or later. But here, hope is described as living, not dead. And what's the basis for that? Look at your Bible. It says, how has he done this? He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope is based on a living Savior. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, we could not have living hope. But because, as Gloria Gaither, remember those? Because he lives, I can what? Face tomorrow. You know that? Not a big Gaither song fan, but I remember that song. And if he's not living, if he's not resurrected, Paul says, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our money. There's no hope if Christ is not risen from the dead. We have a living hope because we have a living Savior. Amen? Amen. All right, wake up. Here we go. Just had to do that once at least. So where there's life, there's hope. And there's life in Christ, and Jesus is living. Paul even says this in 1 Timothy 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope. He calls Christ Jesus our hope. So hope is not a thing you have. Hope is a person. It's the person of Jesus. It's the fatherhood of God. It's the indwelling Spirit. It's not a thing that you conjure up believing maybe will work out. Because he lives, our hope is secure. Hebrews 6:19, one of my favorite verses, because I have slept some nights on anchor in Alaska. Remember how hope is described in Hebrews? As an anchor. An anchor. It says, we have this hope, the hope of Jesus Christ, as an anchor for our boat. No, for our soul. So our soul can be still. Like, I want that boat to be still at night while I'm trying to sleep. And sometimes the anchor drags. And sometimes it's scary and the wind blows. But if the anchor's in a good spot, it will hold and it will be secure. And this boat I'm sleeping on with these other guys is safe. Do you have that kind of anchor? Do you have that kind of anchor rooted in to the person of Jesus Christ? The anchor has no power in itself, right? And the chain has no power in itself. You can have a great anchor and a great chain and have it dangling. And just a little boating hint, and I'm telling myself this because in 2 weeks I'm chartering a couple of boats in Alaska. You can anchor down at low tide and everything looks good and you go to bed. And in Southeast Alaska, guess what the tide does at night sometimes? 25 feet. And the anchor that you thought was so good is just dangling in the water. And the boat is drifting. So the anchor itself has no power. Faith has no power. Faith is more about receiving than achieving. Faith is hooking in to the character and the life of Jesus Christ. So, hope is firmly connected to Jesus. Hope is not a thing you have, but a person you know. A person you're related to because of a new birth. And that answers the second question. How do we get it? It's right here in our text. What does it say? It says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be what? Born again. Sounds like Nicodemus, doesn't it? You must be born again. You can't have hope if you don't have a father to depend on. And you can't have a father unless you're born into a family with a good father that'll hold you. And you can't have living hope unless you have a living father in heaven and you're not an orphan. You have to be born again. Maybe I'm preaching to the crowd here, but you never assume. If you're having trouble having secure hope, maybe you haven't been born again. And that comes as a supernatural act of God, not something you decide to do any more than you decided to be born physically. It's a decision that you yield yourself to God and say, God, here I am. Give me life, please. And open yourself to God. So how do we get it? We get it by being born again. And why do we have hope then? Because we've got a great God and a good Father. And if we don't have a good Father, it's hard to have good hope. It's hard to have living hope. So what does the Bible tell us to do when we get anxious? When our soul isn't being still? When our soul's wiggling all over the place? Be anxious for nothing. Remember that? But in everything, make your requests known to God. Drop that anchor. You see, drop that anchor back into the bedrock of God's promises. Cast all your care on him. Why? Because he, finish it, cares for you. Or as Jesus put it, go be a bird watcher. I've got a friend who's a bird watcher. I get tired of hearing him talk about birds so much. We try to fish together. I want to fish. He's pointing at birds, you know. But he watches birds. And Jesus said, be a bird watcher. Look at them. God's taking care of those birds. He'll take care of you. That's hooking your anchor of faith into the promises of God, that we have a good God. Number three, what does hope do? I like this one. What does it say here? Hope brings us to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven. So that living hope comes through the resurrection of Christ, and it brings us to this inheritance. How do you get an inheritance? Someone has to die. Who had to die to give you an inheritance that is imperishable? Our Lord Jesus Christ. It's what we're going to do here in a few minutes. We've got a reminder that his death gives you, made you, and you, because you're an heir, his death brings you into his inheritance. This is a way of hearing the will of God read, saying you are blessed. You have been given an inheritance that will never fade, that will never go away, that will never go away. In Romans 8, Paul says we're groaning for that. He says creation is groaning for that day when it will finally come, because this inheritance is only partial. We're only seeing the first fruits. Listen to what it says. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, for the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The first fruits. We got our first zucchini this week. The first one, and guess what I'm waiting on? More. Not a whole lot more, but some more. I mean, we'll take all we can get. Something about the first fruits. You get it? Okay, this is just one, but there's more coming. This is just one, but there's inheritance coming that we can't experience now, but the best is yet to come. I couldn't help but share this story. I'm just going to read it because it's so good. There was a woman who had been diagnosed with deadly illness and had been given 3 months to live. So as she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and had him come to her house to discuss certain aspects of her final wishes. She told him what song she wanted sung at the service, what scriptures she would like read, what outfit she wanted to be buried in. The woman also told her pastor that she wanted to be buried with her favorite Bible, and everything was in order, and the pastor was preparing to leave when the woman suddenly remembered something very important. Has anybody heard this story but me? Okay, you're going to like it. Oh, there's one more thing, she said. What's that? Said the pastor. This is very important, the woman said. I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand. Pastor said, well, that's kind of interesting. She said, well, does that surprise you? And he said, yeah. And she said, well, to be honest, I'm kind of puzzled. And she said, well, in all my years of attending church socials and potluck dinners, I always remember that when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would inevitably lean over and say, you can keep your fork. It was my favorite part because I knew something better was coming, like velvety chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie, something wonderful with substance. So I just want people to see there in that casket a fork in my hand, and I want them to wonder, what's with the fork? Then I want you to tell them, keep your fork. The best is yet to come. Isn't that a cool story? I don't know if it's true or not, but it makes a good sermon illustration. So, the inheritance. Now I got everything mixed up. Make sure I don't skip anything. So let's ask the final question. What sustains it? What keeps hope alive? And the answer is in our text. Look at the end of that where he says this. To an inheritance imperishable, kept in heaven for you. And I love this. The inheritance is kept for you. And guess what? You are kept for the inheritance. Wouldn't be any good to have the inheritance kept for you, but you didn't get kept for it, right? Both things have to happen. And how does it happen? It says, by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. You see, faith sustains hope. Faith is the foundation. Hope is the superstructure. Faith is the foundation. Hope is the house. And love is the beautiful lady that lives inside there. We need all three. Faith, hope, and love. See, they're all connected, aren't they? Faith and hope are sisters in a way. Faith is in the immediate belief in what God has done for you. He's made you promises. You're believing those promises. Hope is looking toward the future, saying, if those promises are true, I can look at the future with confidence. Even though I don't know what the future holds, I know who holds the future. Okay, you're getting it. That's what hope is. Hope is not thinking expectation for the future. I'm going to do this and God's going to bless me in this way and I'm going to believe it. That's presumption. Hope is I'm going to believe God's promises. I know He holds the future. And whatever the outcome of this marriage, whatever the outcome of this job, whatever the outcome of this church, it's in God's hands. And I'm going to yield to Him and trust Him. Faith sustains hope. A person can have faith without much hope, but you can't have living hope without faith. Does that make sense? You can't build a house on sand and expect it to stand. It'll be dead hope. It'll fall. What's your hope built on? What is your hope for eternity built on? What are you depending on to present you to God someday, faultless? And how does that happen? It's through God's mercy. See that in there? By His mercy, by His great mercy, God has shown us we're saved by faith, by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. So hope is not the belief that God will do what you want. It's the belief that God will do what is right. Faith is not the believing God will do what you want Him to do. It's a belief that God will do what is right. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. So the question we end up with, upon what is your hope resting? Is it based on how good you've been? Well, I hope I'll get to heaven. And if I get to heaven, I'll say, well, God, I did my best. Please let me in. Gave some money to the church. I served. I helped people. Is that the basis of your hope? I hope not. I hope not about your hope. That's not living hope. Is it based on other people? I'm going to be okay because I've got this person. We're going to be okay because we've got this pastor. I'm going to be okay because my children are going to take care of me. Or I'm going to take care of my children are going to be okay because I'm going to take care of them. These are not, of course, bad things. And we certainly want to trust God and look to good things happening and pray and expect God to act and work. But if that's the ultimate hope we're building our life on, we're not building it on living hope. And if I was choosing a hymn to sing right now, it would be, my hope is built on nothing less, can you finish the next line, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. What does that mean? I guess, you know, the most attractive resource, sweetest frame, that's old language. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but it rhymes with name, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. What a great song. What a great idea. Use your hymnals as a devotional book. It's so good. The songs we sang today, just great inspirational thoughts. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. Father, thank you for the living hope, for the secure anchor for our souls, for your promises that we can build our life on and look to our future with. Forgive us, Lord, for putting our hope in things that will not give us ultimate security. Help us to love those things that are good in this life without depending on them to make us happy. Help us to enjoy your creation without worshiping the creation. Help us to enjoy each other without putting our ultimate hope in other people. Help us to find a living hope as a church, as we look to the future, as we look to what you have. You have held this church in your hand for years, and we're in your hands today. And we look forward to the future because we know that you're a good Father and a sovereign God, and that as we wait on you and put our thoughts and our anxieties and our hopes and dreams in you, you will be faithful to complete what you have begun. Give us faith to believe that, even now as we come to this table of hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.